Will you please turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're continuing there in our ongoing sermon series from the book of Colossians. The sermon this morning is going to focus on verse 20. The reading is going to begin, however, at chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 4, and then I will skip over to verse 18 and read down through chapter 4, verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? This is God's Word. Since then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. This has been the reading of God's Word. Please be seated. We are back this morning working through this portion of the book of Colossians where the apostle is describing for us the kind of thinking and speaking and behavior that consistently reflects the Christian's new identity in Christ. As I read just a few moments ago, your life, if you are a Christian, is hid with Christ in God. Christ is in heaven. What is interesting is that this identity we have in the glorified Christ is to be lived out in these roles that I have just read from Scripture, in roles that only pertain to this age. Wife and husband, child and parent, slave and master. These are not roles that will continue in the eternal kingdom. Having a heavenly identity in Christ does not mean that the ordinary passing things of this world are unimportant. In fact, it's just the opposite. It is the fact that our life is hid with Christ in God that makes it so very important how we live out these very ordinary and temporary roles that we have. Paul lays out six specific roles: wife and husband, child and parent, slave and master. And these six roles are bundled into three relationships: the marriage relationship, the family relationship, and the economic relationship. And in past sermons, we have already dealt with the wife, the husband, and the marriage relationship. This morning, verse 20, we look at the role of the child. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Let me encourage us in some somewhat general ways before we get into the specifics of this text. Let me begin by speaking to those who are children. Do not invest your mind, your heart, during this sermon. Do not invest your internal world in resisting what is laid out for you here in Scripture. What the Lord says to His people, whether young or old, is good. These are God's good commands to you. And it is important that while God is specifically speaking to you from His Word, that you try to see how it applies. Don't sit there and try to figure out all the ways that it can possibly not apply to you. That is not how a Christian should listen to the Word of God. Submit yourself to it. And when everything is done and you have to go back home, try to put into practice the things that God commands you in. You might even want to consider admitting and acknowledging to your parents ways that you have not done what the Lord has commanded. I also have some very general things to say to the parents. Your children will be tempted to find ways that all this doesn't apply to them. Your temptation is going to be different. Your temptation is going to be sitting there in self-righteousness and thinking, this is why we have all the problems in our home that we have. It's my kids. I'm so glad God is pinning the blame on them. And I want to appeal to all of us who are parents. We need to listen to God speak to our children with the same kind of humility that we want them to overhear God speak to us next week. None of you are perfect parents. Every parent in here has done and said things that has tempted their children to sin. So you need to hear God speak to your children with humility, with an appropriate sense of patience towards them, recognizing that they are sinners just like you. Matter of fact, they are your offspring. They didn't get it from a stork. You see, parents, you don't need children who are more guilty than you are. You need a Savior, just like your children do. So this is not a competition. As we listen to the Word of God, these sermons are not about pinning blame. This is about us all as sinners sitting before the Lord and remember letting Him speak to some of us in front of others. There's some challenges in that, but I want to give you those reminders again. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Perhaps one of the most pressing questions about this text is, who are children? Who's God talking to here? Let's first dismiss a few things that the apostle does not mean. The first thing, he does not mean everyone who is the offspring of somebody. By children, he does not mean offspring. Because think about it, if by children he just means you're somebody's offspring, then he's talking to everybody. That's clearly not the specific sense in which he is using the word child, in the sense that, you know, Virgil Gossett could say, I am the child of whatever his parents' names were. That's not what he's talking about. I hope that's okay to pick on you. He also, and I have heard the text used this way, so I feel some obligation to say it, he also doesn't mean by children anybody who is the offspring of parents or a parent who is still alive. Alive, not alive, alive. In other words, this passage is not specifically talking to you just because you have a living parent. That's not what he means by children. There's another thing that I think also needs to be dismissed. He does not mean by child what we mean in the legal sense in our society. So we distinguish typically between children and adults, minors and adults, and this magic age of 18 is the point of division. He's certainly not appealing to something that is that arbitrary. Societies need distinctions like that, but we need to make sure that when we're hearing this text, we're not thinking, okay, if you're 17 and younger, you obey your parents, but the day you turn 18, you're on your own. That's not what's going on here. The text, the context, makes it, I think, fairly clear what exactly is meant by children. By children, the apostle means anyone who is the offspring or adopted. I lost where I was at my sentence. Okay, if you're the offspring or you are adopted, the parents have adopted you, and you are a part of their household, then this passage is talking to you. Because you see, chapter 3, verse 18, down through chapter 4, verse 1, these are relationships of a household. At the time that this was written, these would have been the roles that would have been in households. Husbands and wife, child and parent, slaves and masters. This is how you get along in the household. So what makes an offspring or an adopted child a part of a household? At least two things. I think that this is fairly obvious. One is your address. If you live in mom and dad's home, there's some sense in which you are a part of that household, and that the Lord is speaking to you. And the other factor that I think is not unimportant is dependence. Is there some sort of a meaningful kind of dependence on the parents? So going off and living in the college dorm while mom and dad are paying for this and this and this and this, that doesn't make this not apply to you. There is some sense in which if mom and dad are paying for things, if you are living in mom and dad's home, it is their household. And if you're in the household, you are a child in the sense that this text is talking about. Now, there's some complexities in that, and I'm going to get to that later. But the passage is dealing with households. But there's another thing that I do want to point out before moving on. There's another thing about these children. The children that Paul is speaking to, and this is very important, they are members of the visible church. It's implied in the whole context, right? This is part of the reason why I started reading in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He's speaking to a church. He's telling them about Christ and the implications of being in Christ for them. And then he's going to go on and tell them all the things that they should put to death. And then all the things in 12 through 17 that they should try to grow in. And then he just seamlessly goes on to talk to wives. Not all the wives in the world, the wives that the letter is written to, a church. And the husbands that the letter is written to, husbands that are part of the church. And yes, the parents belong to the church, and the slaves, and the masters. But the children are members of the church. As a matter of fact, it gets even more clear that that's the case. Notice the implication if we skip down to chapter 4, verse 5. All these people he's speaking to in the church, and some of them are wives, some husbands, some children, some parents, some slaves, some masters. Having talked to all them, verse 5, conduct yourselves, wives, husbands, children, parents, slaves, masters, conduct yourselves, you who are in the church, wisely toward outsiders. That is, those who are not a part of the visible church. The implication is that all these people he has addressed, including the children, are insiders. They are formally identified with the visible church. And so just as in Ephesians 6, he can tell children to obey their parents in the Lord, that is, I'm addressing you as those who are in the Lord, obey your parents. So in this text, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And I would submit to you that anybody who is outside the covenant community, the baptized visible people of God, has no warrant to think that they please the Lord in their life. This is written to Christians, those that have been identified with Christ, have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They are a part of the church. And so I want to speak just briefly to all of you who are children, even the youngest among us. The Lord has put his name on you. There is scriptural warrant that you are an insider. You belong to the church. God speaks to you, and he does not first speak to you with the command to obey your parents. He first speaks to you in the promise of the forgiveness of sin in Christ. He's given you the sign of the washing of rebirth. The washing away, the cleansing of sin in Christ. He has spoken to you with the grace of belonging to the family of God. He has put his name on you, and it is in that wonderful relationship, that covenant, that he speaks to you this morning with these commands. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. My young friends, do you want to know how to serve the Lord? I want to encourage you, don't start by thinking about being a missionary, being a pastor, being a Sunday school teacher, being a deacon, being an elder. The way today that you can and you should seek to serve the Lord is by obeying your parents in everything. This is how you can please the Lord. Please the Lord in this relationship of grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God reveals to you very plainly in His Word how to serve Him, how to glorify Him? Take that to heart. And that brings us then to consider the specific command. Obey your parents. Children, you especially who are a part of your parents' household, in some way meaningfully dependent upon them, please and serve the Lord by obeying your parents. Let me say a few things about what obeying parents does not mean. Obeying parents does not mean that you do some of the things outwardly that they have told you to do, but on the inside, in your heart and in your mind, all you're thinking about is how much you don't want to do it. That's a kind of man-pleasing. And that's not the Lord's will for you. The Lord not only wants you to outwardly do what your parents are requiring you to do, but He wants you to submit to it gladly in your heart. There's another thing that obeying parents does not mean. Obeying parents doesn't mean being a strategist. And by being a strategist, I mean it isn't investing lots of energy in figuring out what's the bare minimum of verbal respect and outward conformity. In other words, what's the bare minimum of what you can do to minimize the punishment and the consequences? In other words, you're kind of weighing things out. I don't want the punishment to be too bad and too unpleasant, so if I think if I do at least this much obedience, I think this will be tolerable. That's not obeying. That's not obeying your parents. And that is not how you please the Lord. Obeying parents means that you do what they require, that you really submit your will and your mind to what they want, and you gladly try to do that. And the only way you can do that is ultimately by trusting the Lord. Because, see, this goes back to who you are and your identity. You're not an outsider. You're not an alien to God and His people. You're a part of His people. You're baptized. The name of God is on you. You're not just in this world rattling around and having to protect yourself. God is your God. And that means at least two ways that you can and you need to trust God. You need to trust God with His commands. In other words, God is the one who gives you this command to obey your parents in everything. You have to trust God with that command, that it's a good command, that it's a command that He has given you There's another thing that you have to trust God with. This is the hardest one. You have to trust God with the particular parents He's given you. That's the hard one, because parents aren't perfect. Parents are sinners. Parents sin against their children. And you are being called to obey people that don't just sin generally. You're being called to obey people that have sinned against you, that have used their big bodies and louder voices and stronger muscles and bigger vocabularies in ways that have sometimes hurt you and have been unfair. You have to trust God with His command, and you have to trust the God of providence, who deals especially with His children in every minute detail of their lives, tailoring everything most especially for His glory and their good. You have to trust the Lord with that. You get the parents that you get. And I speak to you, not only who are young, but those of us who are older as well. One of our sins that we are most prone to is discontentedness. Discontent with what God has appointed for us. And my young friends, I want to encourage you, you are going to have to be content and trust the Lord with the parents that He has given you. Because until you can trust the Lord with His command and the parents He's given you, you're not going to be able to really give yourself in your heart to submitting to what they instruct you to do and do it. And do it gladly. And give yourself to it. And say to yourself and know before God, I am pleasing and serving the Lord in obeying my parents. This is a very good, and this is a very, very important thing. Children, obey your parents in everything. Well, what's that about? The in everything. Now, let me encourage you. Sometimes we will read something in Scripture and we interpret it in a way that is wrong, and in so doing, we set up what's called a straw man. In other words, we interpret something in a way that's absurd, and then we think about that and we think, wow, that's so absurd. God isn't saying that. But then we never get around to actually figuring out, well, what is God saying? And sometimes people do that with a statement like this. Obey your parents in everything. And then here comes the straw man. Well, what if your parents tell you not to worship God? What if your parents tell you to lie? What if your parents tell you to cheat? What if your parents, and it goes on like that. Okay. Clearly, God is not going to say in the Bible, His inspired word, obey your parents even if they tell you to not love me and disobey me. God is clearly not saying that. Whatever He is saying in this verse and talking to children, it's inside His overall revealed will. So don't take this verse and twist it into something that is absurd and then go home and think, well, God isn't saying anything to me because what I imagined it was saying was so absurd that I know it's not saying that. Don't do that. There's another thing that He does not mean when He adds in everything. He is not saying, children, obey your parents in everything that God also requires of you. So God says, don't lie. So if your parents tell you don't lie, that's okay. Yeah, you ought to obey that. God says, don't steal. So if your parents also say don't steal, that's okay. You need to do that. In other words, he's not saying, children, obey your parents as long as your parents are using the same words that God uses about something. When he says, children, obey your parents in everything, he is saying, in the context of the household, the parents do have the right, the authority, and the responsibility to direct and govern all sorts of particular things in your life. Your parents have the right to tell you what you can and can't eat, where you can and can't go, what school you are going to go to, what you are going to learn. They can tell you, Harold or Jane are not good friends for you. I don't want you to cultivate a friendship with them. Your parents can tell you whether you can use the internet or not. And if so, how? And your parents can tell you what your table manners are going to be like and how you're going to dress. I could sit here and go on and on and on. But here's the deal. You are a part of their household. And the parents govern the household. And your parents have the right and they have the authority to shape and govern the household. And you as children have the responsibility to obey them. To trust the Lord with this command, to trust the Lord with the parents that he's given you, and willingly give yourself to please the Lord in it. My young friends, that may just sound overwhelming, but I will tell you, most of God's commandments are harder because we fight them instead of just yielding to them and trusting the Lord in them. All we do is conjure up all the things that means that we can't do, that we want to do, or all the things we're going to have to do that we wish we didn't have to do. And we can so get our minds focused on what we want that we're not going to get, that we turn what could otherwise be actually a very happy, pleasant obedience into something grievous. Grievous for you and grievous for your parents. Do you make being your parent hard or a joy? I'll ask your parents that same question going the other way next week. Your parents can give you chores to do, and you must do them. And when you don't, you're not obeying the Lord. Now, that all sounds real nice and neat and tidy. I want you to know, and I want to say this, let me say it. There are complexities in this. There are complexities. And when I say that there are complexities, I'm not saying that to in any way undermine what I've said already. But let me give an analogy. You know, in Scripture, we are told as Christians to honor and obey the governing authorities of our land. The reality is that when God says that to us in this country, it is a very, very different thing than when a Chinese person reads that in China. You see what I'm saying? We have very different governments. And sometimes, well, and that doesn't mean that Chinese people don't have to obey that. They do. But it's more complex when you have a ruler who says, I'm God and I want you to worship me. That's different. And there can be things that are complex between parents and children. There are things that can be complex and do make it hard for children to obey this. Harder for and more complex for some children than other children. Some children read this command to them, but they have an unbelieving parent. Or unbelieving parents. That's more complex. Sometimes children read this commandment and they have believing parents, but quite frankly, their parents are not as committed and mature in their Christian faith as the child is. Think about that complexity. Some children have to receive this portion of Scripture even though they don't have very good parents. My friends, just as there is such a thing as an unloving husband, just as there is such a thing as a rebellious wife, just as there is such a thing as disobedient children, there is such a thing as bad parents. And being a Christian doesn't automatically make you a good parent. And sometimes believing children hear this portion of God's word and they realize that in God's providence, they're in a situation where they don't have a good parent or good parents. Some children hear this and yet they have parents that are very unfair, very unkind, very unaffectionate, generally disinterested, overbearing. It doesn't make the command go away, but it makes it more complex. If you're listening to this today, you're a child that feels that way, the command doesn't go away. Remember what I said earlier. You need to trust the Lord's command, and you're going to have to trust the Lord's providence in giving you the parents that you have. And you're going to have to trust that however difficult your situation is, that it is from the Lord for your good and growth. The Lord may have you in a crucible in your young years, but you will need to trust Him that He has good purposes for that in your life. If you are a Christian, you are never going to escape God's good providence and plan for you. Trust the Lord in that. But there's another complexity, and I hope I can get to this and say more about it down the road. And it is the complexity of children who are getting older and older and older and still are part of the household. good parents, wise parents, don't, well, good parents, on the one hand, they do really, really require and manage a whole lot when the children are young. But good parents also, when children are on the border of young adulthood, don't manage as many things as directly. And that's a very, very complex thing. There's no simple way to speak about that in just a few minutes. But I will just say this, since this morning the Lord is speaking to children. If you feel like your parents are not giving you as much liberty as your level of responsibility that you're taking on warrants, you still need to respectfully go and appeal to them. Use words. The answer is not to be subversive and to disobey them. And where they do give you freedom, remember, you are never free from the Lord. Those remaining words, pleasing the Lord, that never goes away. And it just might mean that even if you have freedom, you're still going to do the things that your parents told you to do. Imagine that. Growing up, being an adult, and still doing the things your folks required. That's actually a wonderful thing. That's a blessing. Still, I want to probe a little bit deeper. Why specifically add in everything? What if Paul had just written, children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord? If he had put it that way, would it imply that children only have to obey some of the time? Part of the time? Some situations? Not others? No. Why add in everything? There's no way to definitively answer that question. But I think the answer may lie something in this area. What is the temptation? What is the temptation for children when they hear, obey your parents? Well, the temptation is to think about their own behavior and attitudes and words in such a way that they keep God's command. In other words, we're really good at spreading out before our own minds all the ways that we do keep a commandment. My parents require me to clean my room, and I'm a neat freak, so my room's clean anyway. Yeah, I'm doing really good with Colossians 3, verse 20. I obey my parents. And yet we forget all the ways that we don't keep the commandment. The other temptation is to rationalize. In other words, we take the commandments of our parents and we say, these commands make sense to me and they kind of suit me, but these commands over here, these things that they require, some of them just seem old-fashioned. These things are wearisome. This command over here, this just doesn't make any sense to me. This seems unreasonable that my parents would require this over here. And what we do is we stand in judgment of our parents. We take their rule in the home and decide that some of it is just defective. It's not good. It's not right. It's not justified. And therefore, I am justified in not obeying them. Because what they're requiring really doesn't make any sense. And my friends, my young friends, I think that may well be why the apostle adds in everything. That you might not too quickly assume that you're pleasing the Lord. That you might really see what it is that the Lord requires of you as a part of your parents' household. But having directed that specifically at the children, the young, those a part of their parents' households, I want to intentionally take the spotlight and broaden it out. Because see, what I've just described that kids do with their parents, it's something that we all do. It's something you do. It's something I do. It's called being committed to self-righteousness. That we think that the way we want to live life is okay. And we don't necessarily dismiss what parents are directing us to do, but what God tells us to do. God's commands, we judge them, we judge God, and say, what he requires of me in this or that area, it doesn't make sense to me. It seems unreasonable. It seems like it's going to be way too disruptive to what I want to get out of my life. You see, if children need to obey their parents in everything, we as image bearers really are required to obey God in everything. And we haven't. This is the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. God gave them a very clear command. It could not have been any clearer. And they sat in judgment on God. And they determined that his command didn't make sense to them. They elevated themselves over God and decided what would be right and good for them. And friends, that's a problem. That puts us at enmity with God. And the good news of Scripture is that God provides a cure for the enmity, for the broken relationship. And God's answer, God's remedy for that ruptured relationship is not commands given to us. We don't repair our relationship with God by keeping chapter 3, verse 20, by obeying our parents in everything. God's cure, God's answer is sending his Son, appointing his eternal Son, fully God, to come into the world, taking to himself a full, true human nature. And that man's name is Jesus. And do you know what he did as a man for people like us who stand in judgment of God, who stand in judgment of the rules of our parents? Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, speaking of Jesus, he went down with Joseph and Mary and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Joseph and Mary, sinners, sinful parents, and the eternal person of the Son, as true man, as a boy, submitted himself, entrusting himself to God's command and to the parents that God had given him in a very imperfect world, and kept the command of God. And he was hated and rejected by all other humans on account of his righteousness. The shouts and the cries went up, "Crucify him, crucify him." All were against him, and he died. He died as a sacrifice. For disobedient, self-legislating people like you and me, there is no other sacrifice. There is no other Savior. And God vindicated him as the righteous man. On the third day, he was risen from the grave. And he has been taken up into the glory of heaven and rules and reigns and will come again in glory on the last day. Whether you are a child living in your parents' household, whether you're anybody else, whether you're the most aged person in this room, I direct you to Christ, the righteous servant, the only sacrifice. Receive him. Rest on him alone. And then, in that grace, come back to this text, especially you who are children, and obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your Spirit will use it in our lives. And we pray that it will now serve to direct us to this meal. We do not come with our own obedience, whether to you, whether to parents. But we come humbly, trustingly looking to the one who is given to us in this meal, the one who is righteous, the one who did obey his parents and please you in that. We thank you that he did that for us so that we receive him, and in him we receive nothing less than the eternal kingdom. And so we pray that by your Spirit, you will give us Christ as we receive these symbols of bread and wine, and assure our hearts of all that we have in him, that we may be strengthened to serve you more faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's prepare to come to the Lord's Supper.